Someone said, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Maybe you didn't hear that. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. There you go. You know, I tell you, you don't want your wood to be wet. You don't want to be saturated by depression. You don't want to be saturated by the world. You don't want to be discouraged. You don't want to be so dry that you're just like, where's God? Who's God? Where has he been? And I want to encourage you today that God is faithful, right? God is faithful. He is there for you. And sometimes we pull back, don't we? We're the ones that we pull away from God. We're the ones that are stepping away from that relationship with him. And so I want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage you that through all the struggles of this life, all the things that are going on in our lives, we need to continue to be diligent in our relationship with God. That's a relationship. You have to care tenderly for your relationship with him, to continue to grow, to continue to be strengthened by him, to continue to honor him in your life and everything you do. So today we're going to be continuing in our series of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments have been given to us via Moses. We're finding ourselves in Exodus chapter 20 again. And we're kind of dancing through these. We're kind of going through each and every one of these to help us understand why God gave us the law, why God gave the Ten Commandments, and really how they apply to us today. As we think of reading in the Old Testament, as we think of how we're understanding why God did what he did, gave us these 10 rules, so to speak, gave the Israelites at the time, in their context, why God gave those 10 rules. They apply to us today in some amazing ways, and we're here to discover that this morning. So we're on the third one. Let's take a look at those little illustrations, if we will, and help us to memorize the 10 commandments. So I have it up here on the screen for you. The illustrations, first and foremost, is number one. Is what? Shout it out. Okay, good job to that person who memorized the number one. Let's say that all together. Let's number one, you shall not have any other gods before me. Right? So that's like that number one is no other gods. We're not trusting in Zeus. We're not trusting in any other god of this world. No, only one God. Number two, let's shout it out. Yeah. Don't bow down to idols, however you want to say it. Don't create graven images. As we see the number two, that guy's like bowing down to the image of some sort of idol. And we talked about how we make idols in our lives. There's so many different things that we idolize. So many different things in our lives that we could put before God. How God deserves our love. God deserves our affection. God deserves our worship and not anything else that gets in between. And so Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, you should not misuse the name of the Lord. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Coop, let's go back to that illustration and let's take a look at the lips right there. All right, it's a three. The red lips, so memorize it. So we're not speaking the Lord. We're not misusing his name. And we're going to talk about what that means. So using our mouth to proclaim or misuse the Lord's name is the third commandment that we want to talk about this morning. You see, as we think about God's name, what's in a name? We think about a name. You know, most of us have been through it. I remember talking to Matt and Hannah. You guys were you know, you're pregnant, and then we're talking. What should we name our new baby? What should we name the new one coming? They use some fun things that really narrow it down. They name all of their children presidents, right? That's the last time you guys are going to sit in the front row. I'm just using you guys as an illustration. You guys are next, so. So they have it narrowed down. You know, they can't name their kids anything but a president name. And I think that's awesome. I think it's fun. It's great. So they are narrowing it down. And so they had some ideas and some things of what should we name our newborn? And Jefferson is here. And we know that Jefferson is a beautiful baby boy. But we think of when we're naming our children, what does it mean? What are the significance? I personally, my namesake was from both of my grandfathers, James and Joseph. And so I take that name with pride because I loved my grandfathers. I think they were fantastic men. So my names mean something, and it's so fun. And so when we think about really what a name truly is, you know, there's a ton of things in a name. And so when we think of God's name, it represents so much. It represents so much, as does potentially your name. You know, if I were to think of, say, a name or two this morning, we attach a name to maybe a character, but your character, or that person's character, or their lifestyle. Let me just give you one name today, and our minds will be just be filled with thoughts of what that name means. One name, here we go, Trump. Right? The character, what he has done and what he has not done. Let me give you another name, Biden. What he has done, what he is going to do, I'm just telling you, I'm not talking about politics this morning. I'm talking about the character of a name. How much weight a name truly holds. So why did God add this to number three? Why is God so sensitive about his name? You know, when somebody has this good reputation, we say he's got a good name, right? I try to tell my boys all the time, and like, listen, you're a ghoulish. You need to live up to that name. It's a sense of listen, you not just represent yourself, but you represent your mom and dad. You represent your grandparents. You represent a lot more things in your character with your name. And so it's quite interesting as we think of what a name truly means, and you really can't divide the name with character or what all that weight comes with it. They go hand in hand. If you think about many times in the Bible, when someone changed their character, their name changed too, right? When someone changed their character, there's just a couple that just come into the top of my head. Saul that was on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus was this cruel, wicked dude that was killing Christians. Well, God, through Jesus, came to him on the road to Damascus through a bright light, and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the story goes on. He says, now that your life has changed, your name will change as well. You are to be called Paul. You see, when someone's character is being changed, their name changes as well. Another example, Simon. Simon in the New Testament was this fisherman who was trying to follow after Jesus, and Simon was just this kind of brash guy that was a rough guy that really had no manners, and he was just kind of a rugged fisherman. Simon was met by Jesus, and through their relationship, Jesus said, listen, you need to change your character. You need to understand who I am and take upon the salvation that I provide you, and therefore I'm going to change your character, and you will be named Petros, the rock. I will decide to change your name, and therefore his name is Peter. So you see how such an important thing is in a name, because it represents your character. And so as we think about God's name, it was as revealed to by Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you to me. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So God, we see this little passage of scripture, God actually revealed his name in a weird kind of way. God revealed his name to Moses at that point. Moses is sitting there. God, you know, we're hanging out. We're friends. We're talking quite often. But can I just tell you, the guys back home are going to ask who you are. What shall I call you? other than the God of our ancestors. And simply, God said, I am who I am. And it's just like, God's way too big to have a name. He has a phrase, right? He's got a saying. He doesn't just have a name like James. That's boring. God has a phrase. I am that I am. Oh man, I would have loved to have been a fly in the wall, or in the cave, I guess, as Moses was revealed. That it was a beautiful thing. God says, I am who I am. And of course, we in our own humanity has decided to take that into the letters, in the Hebrew letters, and we transformed the I am who I am into the Hebrew letter of Yahweh. They just basically took the first letter of I am, I am, I am, and then Yahweh, and spelled out his name. We needed a name of God. We needed a name. And of course, we have the name of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We're actually given that in the New Testament, that Jesus, the Son of God. Again, this word, Jesus, is so beautiful. The deliverer, Jesus. And so as we think of God's name, and again, I'm just illustrating this for a point this morning, because I want you to understand that it's the third commandment, so we've got to be careful not to take the Lord, our God's name, in vain. Some of the Jews, I don't know if you know any Jews, but some of the Jews won't even speak the name of that person. They won't even speak it. They're not allowed to write it. If you ever see a Jewish text, or anybody who is talking about, you know who I'm talking about. If you're Jewish, you have to write this, and then G underscore D. They are not allowed to even write the name of. Isn't that interesting? And so they have taken it really, really far to the extreme of God is so mighty, so great, we're not even allowed to speak his name nor write it. Now, I've taken a little bit upon my life as a respect. There could be a little bit of legalism in there, yes. A little, yeah. In my life, though, when I'm writing or typing, I will never use a lowercase h when I'm talking about him. I will never, ever use a lowercase g when I'm talking about the Almighty God. Never. That's just my personal preference. It's grammarly, whatever that word is, grammatically, thank you for the smarter ones in the room, grammatically correct to obviously capitalize the name of someone and the name of God. But I'm telling you, for my personal, if I'm typing my sermons, when I'm writing, I just want to honor God that way. That's just me. That's just me. Will God care? It's just, I don't know. But for me, I'm like, I will never type a lowercase g if I'm talking about the Almighty. That's just for me. And so I honor God. I represent him. And so what we're talking about today is, what is this word vain? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Some translations say don't misuse the Lord's name. But what does it mean, this word vain? Well, the word vain is shav. It's precisely the same Hebrew word used in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It means to lie or to bring falsehood. So this word vain means to bring falsehood to something. And I want to just kind of bring this to our attention, because here's what I think we think the number three is about. I want you to think that number three, kind of think about it this way. It's not just speaking the word God as a cuss word, right? We all been taught that and from our parents. We're not to say GD. We're not to cuss JC. That's what I think we all kind of are rested in number three. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. So we're all kind of content with that and say, okay, fine, I won't say JC when I hit my thumb with a hammer. Or I won't say GD when I get frustrated with something. We're not going to take God's name as a cuss word. Now, that's a very, very, very important thing not to do, let me just say. But can I just say that perhaps this is not as deep, that theology is not as deep as God wants us to go. God wants us to go a little deeper with number three. Number three is thinking about not just using God's name as a cuss word, but using God's name in our lives to simply say that you are a Christian and you're not acting like Christ is to take the Lord's name in vain. Can I just propose that to you this morning? That if you are a Christian and you simply say, hey, look at me, I am a Christ follower. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet you live like everybody else in the world, you are breaking the third commandment. Because it has nothing to do with cussing his name. It has nothing to do with saying, oh, GD. And it has something to do with it. But hear me out. We have to study the scripture. Don't take his name in vain means don't take it as a way that is represented precisely in the Hebrew word as falsehood. You're putting falsehood in your life. If you're calling yourself a Christian, if you're calling yourself a Christ follower today and yet not living up to that name, you are taking God's name in vain. And they therefore breaking the law of God. And to that I go, oh, guilty. Guilty as charged. There's another one of the Ten Commandments I broke. Man, I'm not getting this right. I'm not doing very good. Because I'm telling you here that I'm not standing here above you. I'm not standing here in judgment of you today. I'm standing here as being one preached to by the Holy Spirit. That there's times in my life that I have taken God's name in vain, and I didn't say a word. There's time in my life where I simply said, yes, I am a Christ follower, I'm a Christian, I will tell somebody this and then live a different lifestyle. Therefore, breaking the third commandment. And so as we think of this falsehood, this taking the Lord's name in vain, we've got to be careful in understanding to give honor to the name of God by acting the way he wants us to act. So I ask you the question, are you using the name of God in vain? Let's not think surface here. Oh no, I would never say JC as a cuss word. I would never say GD as a cuss word. Never, never, never. But are you living the lifestyle, the holiness lifestyle, understanding sin in your life, that understanding that you are living, you're supposed to live differently, separate, set apart for God's special purposes, but you're just blending into the rest of the world. You're just blending into the rest of the world. Are we taking God's name in vain? And so it's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me as we consider these commandments. I don't think God is really too worried about how we slander his name, but I think he's more worried about is how his followers act, about how we are, how what we do, how we portray him. All you got to do is watch the news and watch our society. See, the word Christian has just been just decimated. People say you're a Christian. It's almost like you don't want to say that anymore because if you're connecting me with this Christian over here, I'm not like that guy. You see what I mean? Don't take the Lord, your God's name in vain. The Bible's clear. The Bible's clear. If you're lukewarm, Revelation, it talks about in the book of Revelation, if you're lukewarm, either be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm because God will spew you out of his mouth. And I believe being a lukewarm Christian, that kind of living in the world and for the world type of Christian is taking God's name in vain. As the worship team comes forward to close us out this morning, I want us to take our temperature. I mean, I'm telling you, take our spiritual temperature this morning. The Ten Commandments aren't fun, people. I don't know if anybody have told you that. The Ten Commandments aren't fun. Can you imagine getting these Ten Commandments for the very first time from Moses himself off of the Mount Sinai? People are going to go, ooh, I broke that one too. And we're only at number 3. I feel like garbage. I don't know about you. We're only number 3. The beauty of this is I'm going to teach this. John Wesley usually preaches, he said to preach 90% law, 10% grace. That's what John Wesley did. Kind of a good guy in the faith. 90% law, 10% grace. Here's the beauty of this, is that we don't have to live in the law. We don't have to be bound by the law. We don't have to go home from here today stating that, oh man, I've got idols in my life and I am not living a Christ-like life. I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. You don't have to go depressed out here today. You don't have to sit there and go, oh man, I have broken God's law, therefore I've sinned. What shall I do but die? You don't have to say that. We have grace. Grace of Jesus to cover our sin when we're truly repentant of our sin. So understanding that what the law does is it sets you up with knowledge, and the law does it helps you form this sense of I am a horrible person that does not deserve anything, but yet there's Jesus. Woo! There's Jesus. Man. If you can't get a hold of that, if you can't get a hold of Jesus, the forgiveness of your sin, I don't know what you're missing. I tell you. Because God's grace is sufficient for me, and his power is made perfect in my weakness. And I am a weak person. I break the law of God. I have broken the law of God. And I need grace. And I'm emotional because I hope that you understand that. It pains me that they don't understand the grace of Jesus. It's not a get out of jail free card, but it's totally different. It's understanding the gravity of your sin. Understanding that you have broken the third law of God, the creator of everything, and you have broken that rule, the law, and that we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it except the grace, the wonderful grace of Jesus. So today I encourage you to ask for forgiveness of your sin. Ask for forgiveness of what you have done and breaking the law, the known law of God. May it not be the third one we're talking about today, but seek Jesus this morning. For it said that the most miserable people on the planet are Christians who are in sin. I believe it. The most miserable people on the planet are Christians who are in sin. You don't have to be miserable, Christian. You don't have to live a miserable lifestyle. You simply have to ask God to come in and say, I need Jesus' forgiveness. Oh, his grace so free washes over me. It's a beautiful thing. Heavenly Father, I am guilty before you. I stand guilty in a court of law. I stand before the judge guilty of breaking your laws. I can't do anything about it. But I know that you have provided a way through Jesus Christ. Through salvation, through that punishment on the cross. And Lord, I can't help but be thankful. I can't help but worship you. I can't help but set everything aside in my life to honor you. And Lord, my prayer today is that those within the sound of my voice would do the same, that they would feel the gravity of sin, the weight of sin, that they would feel the gravity of the law that would push them toward Jesus and to accepting the free gift of salvation through grace and grace alone.